The title of our message this morning is How Are We to Live in the World? And our text is from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. In this message, we're going to have two things. God's going to be speaking to us, and then how we're to speak to Him. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. How are we to live in the world? The answer is with humility, because pride brings problems. All believers in Christ should live together in love and harmony, but often they do not. It is important for us to know that the very essence of sin is selfishness. Eve disobeyed God because she wanted to eat of the tree of knowledge and become more like God. Lot quarreled with Abraham in the book of Genesis in chapter 13. Even the disciples created problems with the Lord over who would be greatest in the kingdom. What the disciples wanted was recognition. We are all sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. What is worldliness? Worldliness. James says that worldliness is strife and envy. In James chapter 3, verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good works, or good conduct, that his works are done in meekness. In the meekness of wisdom. Or we could say in the humility of wisdom. Works of faith bring meekness. In James 3:17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and humble. But in James 3:16, we also read, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. That is worldliness. Envy and strife produce confusion in every evil work. That is the background for our text. That is the background in chapter 3, which leads us to chapter 4. There are problems in the Corinthian church. Problems with the Galatian believers. Problems with the Ephesian church. And problems with the Philippian church. Where there is a sin nature, there can be problems. In James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Selfish desires are dangerous. And the scripture is telling us that we all have them. They can kill, they can cause fights, and they can even cause wars. Selfish desires. The very essence of sin is selfishness. You want to have your own way, or we want to have our own way. We are to act in love. That's what God says in His Word. He says, pursue love. In James 4:2, it says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. James makes it very clear that selfish desires can lead to war. The spirit of strife is a spirit of discord. It's worldliness, it's not Christian, and it's not of God. James is describing the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world gets into the church, it can have a worldly church. The spirit of the world can get into individuals and in some churches, and it can be as bad as a war. We need to have faith in Christ and be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. As it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, some of the most precious scripture, it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As all believers in Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit in them, and we belong to God. That is so important. Sometimes we can think, well, yes, we have the Holy Spirit in us. But never forget that you also belong to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You belong to them. In verse 2 of our text, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. What is the cure for worldliness? It is prayer. It is faith in God, and it is being humble. Our desires need to be taken to the Lord in prayer. A wonderful verse that goes along with this is Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, His desires become our desires. The Apostle John said in 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. And in 1 John 5:5, it adds, who is the one that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Our faith is, and us knowing that Jesus is the Son of God allows us to overcome this world. And it's given to us by the Holy Spirit. As it says in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's at work in us. Our answer to overcoming the world is to trust completely in our Almighty God. We need to trust in Him completely. Go to Him in prayer and commit to what is in our hearts. Commit it to Him. Jesus said in John 16:24, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. He wants us to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's what we are commanded to do. And Jesus promised us a blessing if we do. I want to include this. I think this is so good. I came across this in a reading. A great man of the Middle Ages said this on prayer. Tell God all that is in your heart, as one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains to a close friend. Tell him your troubles that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys that he may sober them. Tell him your longings that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes that he may help you to conquer them. Talk to him of your temptations that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, your insatiability. Tell him all self-love makes you unjust to others. How vanity tempts you to be insincere. How pride disguises you to yourself and to others. This is what he said. If you pour out all your weaknesses, needs, and troubles, and joys, there will be no lack of what to say to God. You'll never exhaust what to tell God. Have you ever thought of that? Someone says, well, I don't know what to pray about. If we begin telling God what's in our heart, all of our problems, all of our weaknesses, and we literally let God know that we are tempted. We let God know how we have dislikes about our temptations, about our jealousy. We'll have never lack of what to say to God. I love this. He says, bear it all to God. Don't hold back. You will never exhaust what to tell God. Blessed are you when you talk to God about everything. How precious it can be and will be. Oh, we hold back so much. We need to come to the point where we are going to tell God everything. We can tell him everything that is sinful and questionable because he knows, he understands, and he forgives. Why do we hold it back from God? Do we know how awesome our God is? Do we know that he knows it before we do? Don't ever hold back what's sinful to God. Don't ever hold back what's questionable from God. Because God understands and God knows it. And God will forgive. One of the reasons we need to tell God is to get it off of ourselves. We're not to hold on to our burdens. But when we sit there and say, well, God, thank you for this. God, help me with this. Boy, what do we hold back from him? The only way we can take care of envy and jealousy and strife is to go to the Father in the name of Jesus and pray. We need to pray to him. God knows what's on your mind. He knows what's in your heart. And he knows what's back here that you're holding back from him. There is no reason to do that. In James, it says, the solution to us is to pray. But we often pray for our own selfish desires. We say, God, let's make this happen. I'm not praying the will of God. In James 4:3, it says, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your desires or your pleasures. This says when we ask God for something, we ask so that we can spend it on our selfish desires. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever prayed for something that was just, it's selfish, but it's what I want? God knows what we need. Much more than we will ever know. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's in our heart and our minds. The powerful scripture that we're to go back to is in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We need his desires and not ours. We need to have our mind upon him. Verse 4 of our text says, adulterers and adulteresses, Do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What a powerful verse. This is not our world. Oh, we need to understand more about heaven, what God has got in store for us, and what God means for us each and every day, the wonderful plans that he has for us. People are willing to compromise with the world in order to attain their goals. And that's why James calls them adulterers and adulteresses, because they compromise. They don't tell God what's really on their minds. This is the way of the world. Being envious and jealous of others causes strife. Friendship with the world means you're an enemy of God. The answer to worldliness is humility. That's what this text says, and that's what this text is about. God wants us to be humble. The Apostle John and God tell us in 1 John 2:15-16, powerful scripture, it says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We're not to lust after what we see, our pride, or what our flesh wants. We're to want what God wants. When we lust after these things, we'll be asking God, oh God, fulfill these selfish desires. God wants us to be humble. We are to wait upon him. Are we kidding ourselves? Do we say to ourselves how nice people we are? How sweet we are. We have no jealousy in our hearts. Oh, would we be deceiving ourselves and deceiving what the Word of God says too? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We need to have Christ in us. We need to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit and have our thoughts centered on Jesus Christ. What about the strife that we can cause with our tongues by saying the wrong thing? James says the solution is to go to the Lord Jesus and tell him about our problems. We need to tell God everything. In verse 5 it says, Do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? Oh, the Holy Spirit wants us to love him. We're to love the Holy Spirit, love the Father and the Son. But when we love the world, it grieves the Holy Spirit. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is overloaded with grace. Do you believe that God doesn't have the grace for you? The grace to meet your needs? He is overloaded with grace. We just don't know how gracious he is. He has an abundance of grace. Grace is defined as God's unmerited favor. Grace is love in action. God did not save us by his grace. But by his grace, he gave us his Son, as it says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever